Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. So I must admit here, while there's not a whole lot up front that I want to talk about, I do want to talk about this. I have been putting more and more thought into seriously making a run for the U.S. Senate. I don't believe my current senator for the state of Iowa, who is a Republican, is actually doing much. I mean, they're pretty much just sailing through, ignoring all of the actual problems and the dangers of the left, and just focuses on meaningless fluff bills and some spending bills. But other than that, runs and hides every time the left is on the march. And so I keep thinking more and more and more about actually making a run, replacing him with someone who's actually going to go through and do something. I have been going through and I've been thinking about what my platform would be. Now, it turns out it's very simple to go off and register as a candidate and to get your campaign committee filed, and it doesn't take much to get the identification number needed in order to open up the bank account in order to start accepting funds or donations from the public. It turns out that that's actually very, very simple. The hard part is in going through and trying to keep up with all of the reporting requirements and yada, yada, yada. Okay. But then again, if you do a little bit of research, you know, and you do your fundraising by utilizing PayPal, and you have something like QuickBooks where you can do mass imports of everything, it can become very, very simple. I don't really think it would take a whole lot for me to at least get started. Now, as the campaign takes off and I would need to start hiring staff, sure. But to be able to get everything off the ground, I have found out is very, very simple. And I thought about how I would go through all of this, how I would get the initial start. You know, the first couple $100 in running advertisements in order to get the initial name recognition. And then how I would utilize podcasts along with a website that doesn't really cost anything anyways, doesn't cost much, to be able to get out what my campaign platform would be, as well as some of the other tactics that I would use in order to initially get some name recognition. And I keep thinking about this more and more and more. Now, currently, my wife is not too thrilled about the idea, all right, as I've gone through, but we haven't had the full discussion. Again, she doesn't like the idea because she doesn't want anything to do with politics, but she especially doesn't want anything to do with moving to Washington, D.C. Me, while I'm warming up to the idea, I still have to figure out what to do if I win. Of course, I know I would keep my campaign promises and write the legislation, but if I win, is it more like a poison chalice? And I think that's where most people make their calculus of not running, which is why good people are not in office and we always get the worst of the worst people in office. And it kind of reminds me of the whole poison chalice analogy. If you ever watched the show Lucifer, you know, that started off on Fox and then went over to Netflix. And, you know, there's a scene there where he's sitting at the table with Michael and Amenadiel and God. And he's going off and, you know, again, you know, complaining about the way his life had gone through. And Michael chimes up and goes, "Oh, what are you so, you know, whiny about? You know, something to that effect. You got your own kingdom to rule as a result." And Lucifer comes out and he says, "Is that what you think? You know, that becoming the ruler of hell, torturing souls, was just a attaboy? And boy, isn't that a poison chalice?" And that's basically what we're looking at here, or part of the calculus that I'm looking at when it comes to the idea of running for political office. You know, it's the poison chalice. It's almost like being the ruler of hell. Yeah, you're the ruler, but it's still hell. You know, it's still horrible. It's really not much of a prize, which is why I think most people stay clear. But for evil to prevail only requires good people to do nothing, to not be willing to make that type of sacrifice. And so I've been going off and I've been thinking about this and I've been putting thoughts into what the campaign would be. You know, no, I'm not ready to release that yet. I haven't actually made the final decision. But when my wife comes back from visiting her family, which by the way, it is nice to get some peace and quiet for once. Woo, that is nice. Was able to spend some time watching TV without having to push pause about a million times. Man, TV shows and movies are a lot different when you get to watch it uninterrupted. Those of you who have kids understand where I'm coming from here. But when she gets back, I'm going to have a sit down with her and have a serious conversation about whether or not I should run for office. And I have a whole host of ideas of the things I would do that would set the left back, their attacks on democracy back 100 years, and make it next to impossible for them to be able to attack our democracy again. Okay, enough about all of that. Let's go ahead and get into the episode here. And this first one, it's on the one hand, you want to say duh, and on the other hand, you read the title here, and it's hard to keep a straight face. So report from the Political Insider. Facebook Vice President Nick Clegg admits they're fact checkers, possibly politically biased. Well, no kidding. No kidding. You're just figuring this out. I mean, we try to imagine the idea of that the people in these tech companies are really, really smart people, you know, because they're able to do all types of things with technologies. And yet, at the same time, they seem to be some of the dumbest people on the planet. You know, anything outside of coding, they are complete and total idiots. They're fact checkers, possibly maybe politically biased. Possibly? How about the fact that they are completely politically biased? My God. So they're actually, at least there's actual recognition within the company that, hey, you know what? These fact checkers, yeah, their fact checks don't seem to line up with reality. They seem to get a lot of things wrong. And they always seem to get wrong on the basis of politics and political ideology. And all their errors seem to cut one way. So from the article, according to the Daily Mail, it was recently revealed that Facebook Vice President Nick Clegg admitted that his company's fact checkers could be potentially biased. Now, I know that those of us on the conservative side are just looking at this and going, duh, we've known this for a long time. It has been completely evident. Your fact checkers have been wrong on virtually everything because they're not actually checking facts. They're just political opinion writers claiming to be fact-checking. They don't actually check the facts. They just accept whatever some Democrat says and then claims that to be a fact-check. Or two, they just make stuff up. They don't actually fact-check what someone said. They read the person's mind and fact-checks what they think the person may have actually meant. Right? So they just make up something that wasn't actually said and then try to fact-check their own imagination about the other person. My God, maybe bias, maybe. There is no doubt about it. Anyways, it goes on. Conservative outlets like the Political Insider have been deeply and negatively impacted by Facebook's left-wing fact-checkers and partners. Facebook's recent reversal of their policy to block content suggesting that COVID came from a Wuhan lab only underscores that point. Yeah. See, there's another thing that, you know, the fact checkers, they assured us, no, this did not come from a lab leak. This was all developed naturally in nature, in which no one actually believes. The people who they go through and cite in their fact checks as providing them the evidence that they need to prove that this wasn't a lab leak were the people involved in the funding of the gain of function research that created the coronavirus. So all the so-called experts were lying their butts off in order to cover their own backside. And then, of course, a lot of it was politically motivated because they wanted to be able to make sure they gave the worst advice possible. You know what? I'm not sure if I should get into that right now or if I should save that for later. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and give that right now. One of the reasons why they went off to give the worst advice possible is they needed to get Trump out of office because Trump was already smelling that something wasn't right about this coronavirus strain. And he was trying to get in some research or an investigation into its true origins. Well, its true origins were the result of the gain of function research that was being done, being funded by the likes of the organizations headed up by Dr. Fauci. And so any research into the origins would result in a lot of questions and, of course, a mass firing. And so people needed to make sure that they got rid of Trump in the election. So what did they do? They made sure to try and block any investigation. They undermined it. They lied to the president, purposely gave bad advice, issued guidelines that didn't actually have anything to do with protecting us from coronavirus, guidelines that were then used in order to justify throwing out all election laws in order to ram through a fraudulent election for Joe Biden. Dr. Fauci knew he was lying. Anybody with half a brain knew that Dr. Fauci and the whole develop naturally in nature. Everybody knew that that was complete and total BS, and yet that was pushed on us. That was pushed on us. And any information was censored. So when real scientists and real doctors came out and said, no, this did not develop naturally. This was made in a lab. These bogus fact checkers were used in order to censor actual scientists, actual doctors, people who actually practice in their field, unlike Dr. Fauci. People who actually practice in their field were silent, censored, and deplatformed so that they couldn't get out real and honest information to the public. So they censored actual science, actual facts from actual doctors and scientists in order to push through Dr. Fauci's phony narrative that he was pushing in order to cover his own butt. And the question becomes, how many people died as a result? Remember when they were coming out there and the doctors were actually saying, yes, hydroxychloroquine, you know, people, you know, treating COVID patients with that will reduce the death rate. We'll be able to go off and provide, you know, some protection. I mean, not some protection, it's not like a vaccine, but that it was effective in treating the coronavirus and that would reduce the death rate. But again, because that was promoted by Trump, they came out with their so-called fact checks claiming that hydroxychloroquine has been debunked, that that is not, you know, a real thing. And so they tried to censor, block, and that all over social media. The news media ended up pushing out, hey, do not take this. The left started issuing legislation in left-wing states denying people treatment that could have saved their lives because these phony fact checkers were just regurgitating propaganda, misinformation from those trying to cover up their backside. And so the question is now to Facebook, how much blood is on your hands, Facebook, because you use these knowingly fraudulent fact checkers, these complete political hacks to censor information, critical information? How much blood is on your hands, Mark Zuckerberg? How many Americans needlessly died because of Dr. Fauci and his horrible conduct? How many people needlessly died because of these fact checkers being used in order to censor the truth and block information from actual doctors and scientists? And does the left even care about that at all? Do they care about that one bit? No, they just look at it and go, well, you know, we were able to upset the election. We were able to get Biden installed into the White House because we were able to use the coronavirus in order to throw all the election laws and basically just override the election, override the actual votes of the people. The media is patting themselves on the back. They don't care. As far as they're concerned, they would have sacrificed twice as many people if that's what it took in order for the swamp, the deep state, and the media elitists to be able to claim to have regained power, the true power of the country for their authoritarian rule. I mean, heck, do you think Stalin cared about how many people he killed? Do you think Hitler cared about how many people he killed? Do you think Mao Zedong cared about how many people he killed in order to achieve and maintain power? No, and neither does the left. Whether that be the leaders of the Democrat Party, the media hacks, or Facebook. They don't care how many people died in order for them to achieve their political goal. And now they're going to come out here and go, geez, I wonder if our fact checkers might potentially be politically biased. Oh my God. And now you take a look at the whole talk about the lab leak, which everyone is finally admitting, yeah, that's what happened. I mean, have you seen Jon Stewart lately on Colbert's show? He's like, the virus is named after the lab in which was located in the same area that the outbreak happened. I mean, he's like, so you got a lab studying the coronavirus, doing gain-of-function research, an outbreak just happens to happen right where that lab is located. The virus is named after the lab and their experiments And yet we're thinking this, what, somehow originated because bats were placed in soup? And if that's true, he also points out that, hey, guess what? Texas, there's a lot of bats in Texas, and yet there's not a coronavirus outbreak happening over there in Texas. You know, I mean, it is a really funny clip, and I can't really do it any justice. I know that. But even John Stewart can go through and point out that, of course, this leaked from a lab. You have to be a moron to think otherwise at this point. I mean, it's just sickening how they do this. And then, of course, you know, part of Facebook's whole idea behind putting things in the hands of the fact checkers is so that they don't have to take or accept any responsibility for anything themselves, which is interesting. So they want to claim to be a platform, but they act as a publisher. But in order to avoid being considered a publisher, they outsource to fact checkers all of the publishing decision making. Bunch of con artists and scams. You know, right now I'd say Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey have committed the biggest fraud on the American consumers ever in the history of the United States, maybe in the history of the world, claiming to be a platform in order to get billions and billions of dollars worth of data out of you that they can package and sell to other people, claiming to be a platform when in reality, all their actions and behaviors prove that they are a publisher. And they have proven time and time again, they don't care about the truth. They don't care about free speech whatsoever, that they will actually go through and under the guise of trying to block misinformation, actually promoted misinformation and censored actual scientific truths that could have saved thousands upon thousands of lives. Oops, I guess it's just an error. I wonder if there's a potential that our fact checkers have some bias. Now, of course, when it comes to the lab leak theory, this next one is just funny. You know, from justthenews.com, top Wuhan virology lab scientist dismisses leak theory. Really? So we're going to trust the Chinese government to provide us accurate information. Even worse, we're going to trust the person working at the institute from which the virus leaked from and just take them at their word that, no, even though our laboratory does gain of function research on this virus, and the outbreak just happened to happen right where our lab is located, I can assure you, just take my word at it, it didn't leak from this lab. Even though every legitimate scientist looking at this has concluded this did not develop naturally in nature. Frauds like Fauci tried to make that claim, but actual scientists have debunked any possibility that this has developed naturally in nature, that it was manipulated and developed in a laboratory. But yeah, you know. So yeah, but I wonder, you know, I haven't really gone through and listened to the left-wing news that much today. And it makes me wonder, after this comes out, how much in the left-wing news they're going, well, you know, the lab leak theory has been debunked because a person at the lab denies that it leaked from their lab. It just happened to be a virus they were working on, and it happened to have started the outbreak near their laboratory, but they have now assured us. And so now it makes me wonder also how many fact checkers are now going to come out and go, you know what? Wuhan science laboratory scientist dismisses lab leak theory. Therefore, our fact check claims that lab leak is false, because that is about the extent of their fact check. They just take whatever some left wing nut or someone trying to cover up their own backside on the political left says, and just takes them at their word and claim that their word is fact. And yet when it comes to Republicans, instead of fact checking what the Republicans say, because they can't debunk what the Republicans say, they just make up, you know, their own imaginations about what the Republican thought, and then fact check their own imagination of what they thought the person meant rather than what they actually said. I know it's not exactly scientific here, but to Facebook's vice president, Nick Clegg, I have personally done research here on your fact checkers, and I can confirm they are completely politically biased. and that they are only political hacks pretending to be fact checkers. So we can clear up the whole possibly politically biased and just go straight to the confirmation that they are, in fact, completely politically biased. Okay, so enough about that. It's time to move on a little bit. That way I actually get to most of the stuff. And if I continue talking about Facebook and the fact checkers, I'm just going to be beating a dead horse here. So Jim Jordan has a good moment, a viral moment in a committee hearing, and it's not his first. Now, I will be honest here. I like Jim Jordan from what I've seen on camera, but I have been fooled before, like with the issue of Trey Gowdy. Trey Gowdy used to look really good in committee hearings, but then he never actually did anything. He never actually wrote any bill of consequence, never followed up, never actually went through the legislative process to try and do anything. He just gave a tongue lashing in a committee hearing, really seemed to know what he was talking about, and ultimately did nothing. It's a problem that we have a lot with the Republican Party. You know, even with those that we generally like, they sound good on camera, but they don't follow through with much of any action whatsoever. Now, I will admit, when it comes to Jim Jordan, though, I haven't really done a whole lot looking into him as far as what bills he has and hasn't written. And maybe that's because I got tired of trying to research what all the people that are not my representatives were doing just because they were going viral, only to be disappointed when I have a lot of problems and issues with my own representatives, trying to get them to actually listen and focus. You know, you try calling them up, you try sending them letters, and all you get is a pre-typed general response that they wrote as a response for anybody who submits anything on that topic that does not in any way, shape, or form provide any indication that they actually read anything that you send to them. I mean, at that point, it's almost like it would be better to get no response rather than a fake response. But in any event, Jim Jordan has a pretty good moment in a committee hearing, where once again, the left is trying to come up with another narrative, another excuse to use the powers of government in order to attack President Trump. Oh, I'm getting so sick of the left coming up with one bogus claim after another in order to try and attack Trump. Well, Jim Jordan calls them out on it, calls them out on how bogus their claims are for an investigation, and hints at what their true motivation is for wanting yet another investigation. Here's what that sounded like.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The previous speaker from Virginia said, talk about anything but. That's exactly what the Democrats are doing. That's exactly what they're doing. They don't want to talk about the crisis at the border. We've yet to have a hearing in this committee, the Government Oversight Committee, about the crisis at the border. They don't want to talk about the huge increase in crime because Democrats all over this country and municipals and cities are defunding the police. They don't want to talk about inflation, the increased price of gas. They don't want to talk about the fact that every single employer I talk to in our district, I bet it's the same in yours, can't find people to work, because when you pay people not to work, you shouldn't be surprised when you don't have workers. They don't want to talk about their bill that they introduced in the Judiciary Committee to pack the court. They don't want to talk about the fact they're going to raise taxes, they're going to ban firearms, and they're getting ready to hire more agents at the IRS to harass American citizens. We saw it just a week ago when tax returns against the law were leaked to the press. They don't want to talk about, they want another Trump investigation. Here's what the chairwoman said in her opening statement. Just this morning, the committee released documents we obtained showing that the weeks leading up to the January 6th attack, President Trump repeatedly pressured the Department of Justice. Pressured the Department of Justice, they say. And in their press release, they say the White House chief of staff pressured DOJ. Let's look at what the White House chief of staff said. He sent an email to Mr. Rosen, the acting attorney general. Can you have your team look into these allegations of wrongdoing? Wow. A lot of pressure there. Wants them to look into something. Every chief of staff, I bet, for every single one of us sends the same kind of emails and letters every day. You get constituents, you get people call you. You send it to the agency. Can you look into this? See what else Mr. Meadows had to say. Send a YouTube link. Imagine, I bet we've had some of our chiefs of staff send YouTube links to colleagues and to people in agency. Wow, that's pressure in the deep. How about this one? There have been allegations about signature match anomalies in Fulton County, Georgia. Can you get Jeff Clark to engage on this issue immediately if there's any truth to this allegation? Boy, that's a lot of pressure there. Mark Meadows putting a lot of pressure on people, asking, can you look into this allegation? Someone's raised it. After all, lots of Americans, 80, 90 million Americans had concerns with the election. But what are the Democrats doing? They're going to launch another investigation, call in five people for depositions. But we can't have the head of the Capitol Hill police here today like we wanted. Oh, it's interesting, too, the response that the attorney general gave to Mr. Meadows when he sent that email. I think this is interesting. He says, I can't believe this. I'm not going to respond to the message below. Wow. Wow. That is a problem. When the chief of staff to the president of the United States asks someone in the executive branch to do something and they basically give him the finger, I think that's the problem we should be looking into. But that's not what the Democrats are going to look into. No, they got another investigation. We can't talk about the border crisis here. We hadn't had one hearing in this room about that. Can't do that. They want to investigate Trump again, even though the Obama Department of Justice spied on President Trump's campaign, lied to the FISA court 68 times. Not Jim Jordan. That's Inspector General Horowitz. 68 times in the Carter Page FISA alone. We can't look into those issues. We're going to do another investigation about pressuring people by sending emails to the Justice Department. Somehow that's now pressuring.
And yes, Jim Jordan is exactly right in that clip. So we're talking about, avoidance. The Democrats are going off and trying to start yet another investigation of President Trump baselessly in order to avoid talking about the complete dumpster fire that is the Biden administration and the Democrats who are in control of the House and Senate at this particular moment in time. Because it has been a complete and total dumpster fire ever since Biden was installed. A crisis at the border. We got mass inflation. We have the complete disaster of Biden and the G7 summit and his overseas trip. That's an unmitigated disaster. Everything. Rising crime. Defund the police. The Democrats want to avoid any conversations about their records because their record sucks. They want to ensure to distract from any conversation about their policies because their policies are inflicting nothing but pain and suffering on the country. They are damaging. They are proving that through their delusion and complete incompetency and their hate for this country, that they are the biggest threat to this country. So they do not want to have that conversation. So what do? We're going to start yet another investigation of President Trump because he pressured the DOJ to look into claims of fraud in the last election, to which there is plenty of evidence of. And what do they claim is pressuring? We're sending out an email here. We're getting reports that there was fraud. Could you look into this and see if there's any truth to that? Yeah, that's pressure. Hey, we have an allegation. Can you look into it if you find any evidence as to whether or not the allegations are true? Which kind of seems to be the actual job and function of the Department of Justice. You know, the Department of Justice, you know, when they get reports that maybe something illegal happened, you know, an accusation, that maybe their job as federal law enforcement is to actually look into the allegations to see if there's any truth to it, see if there's any actual evidence of it. I mean, heck, they did the whole Trump Russia and, you know, Crossfire Hurricane. They did that off of allegations with absolutely zero evidence backing that up. We had an entire special counsel investigation based off of an accusation for which they found zero evidence of, but they stretched on and investigated it for years based solely on the accusations that someone being paid by the Democrats made. And now we got there's an accusation being made. Could you just look into that, you know, kind of do your job? You know, can you look into that, see if there's any truth to it? Yeah, kind of seems like that would be a basic function of the Department of Justice. So you notice here, if someone makes an accusation without evidence against a Republican, they're all over that investigation. Oh, yes, they're right there on the ball, claiming to be civil servants doing their job. But when accusations are made against the Democrats, and there does seem to be some proof or some evidence to that, their response is, no, No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And by the way, this isn't the first time that an executive branch or members of an executive branch defied a request from the president, who basically went through and exercised veto power over someone they don't have veto power over, who basically just told their boss, go fly a kite. That is the bigger threat. Remember, we covered this before here when it came to the military, where Trump said, hey, you know what? We need to start withdrawing troops here. And instead of withdrawing troops, they said, nah, we're not going to in certain areas. And in other areas, they just flat out lied to the president, claimed they withdrew troops when they didn't, and gave him falsified reports about decreased troop levels. This is what's scary. And people want to go off and claim that the deep state is just a crazy conspiracy theory of tinfoil hat right wingers. And yet we see the deep state repeatedly. They're not even hiding anymore, where they go out there and they think, you know what, the president is just a figurehead. You know, the president is just a figurehead. And, you know, we don't have to actually listen to him. We're just going to do what we want. And what we want, in the instance of the DOJ, is we're just going to use the power of government in order to target Republicans, regardless of a lack of any evidence, and we're going to refuse to investigate any of the crimes of the Democrats, no matter how much evidence there is. And the Democrats want to go off and say, hey, it's pressure to send the Department of Justice an email saying, hey, we have an allegation here. You mind looking into that? It's not even really going through here and saying, you will do this or you'll be fired. They're, no, they're just going, hey, there's an allegation here. You want to look into the allegation, you know, see what's there? But Jim Jordan, in this particular instance, is 100% on the ball here, that they're trying to engage in an investigation, basically, in order to be able to avoid and distract from the dumpster fires that are going on as a result of the Democrats' policies. And that the bigger problem, the bigger threat, the bigger concern are members of the executive branch telling the president, go fly a kite. We don't answer to you for some reason. That's the bigger problem. That's the bigger threat. It's not like Trump was asking them to do anything illegal. I mean, I could understand if Trump was trying to ask them to do something illegal, that they would go off and say, no, we're not going to do that. But he's not. He's saying, hey, we have an allegation of a crime here. Can you look into that? That's their job, to look into allegations of crimes. And yet they give them the big bird. These people should be fired from their jobs. And we need to be asking ourselves questions here about our democracy and the dangers that it is in when unelected bureaucrats think that they have more authority, more power, and have the ability to veto or overwrite the legal, lawful requests of the president for whom they work for. Utterly disgusted. And yet these are the same people that engage in and help cover up crimes for the Democrats. You know, if I were to ever decide to run seriously for president of the United States, I mean, yeah. I did it once as kind of a joke, trying to troll the media. But if I were to ever do it seriously, and if I ever got elected to the president of the United States, I would pretty much take a look at most of these agencies and fire the top three levels of management day one. Just automatically boot them out because they have proven themselves to be corrupt, untrustworthy deep staters acting against the will of our elected president, of our elected representatives. And they have completely and totally disgraced themselves using their positions within government for partisan politics. They need to go. They're part of the threat that the United States is facing. Okay, so there is more that we need to get to here. So, Schumer. I mean, I don't know if the problem with Schumer in this clip is that as a Democrat, he's just, he has no relationship with the truth, or if it's because he's been in such a delusional fantasy for so long that he's just lost any connection to reality. So here he is trying to go off and claim that under Trump, Putin got away with everything without consequence, and Biden is going to be strong. Here, just listen, and then I'll come back on the other end of this to kind of explain the delusional fantasies here.
The president will meet tomorrow with Vladimir Putin. From the occupation in Crimea, to violating political and human rights within its own borders, to interfering in democratic elections across the Western world, to imprisoning those that expose his brutal, undemocratic regime, Vladimir Putin has spent the past decade interfering and destabilizing the world order. And for 4 years, former President Trump turned a blind eye and gave Putin a free pass.
He's bright. He's tough. And I have found that he is a, as they say, when he used to play ball, a worthy adversary.
That was President Biden praising Vladimir Putin yesterday.
Okay. So I'm having a hard time figuring out where to start on the delusional bull crap that Schumer was spewing there. First of all, when he goes through and talks about the things that Putin has done and claims was able to get away with without consequence, from the annexing of Crimea, killing of political opponents within his country, interfering with elections, that all happened under the Obama-Biden administration, to which there was no consequences. In fact, the annexing of Crimea happened just after Obama won re-election in 2012, to which Obama-Biden did nothing. And then if you want to say interfering in elections, well, your claim is that he interfered in the 2016 election. Who was president in 2016? Obama, and Biden was the vice president. Now, of course, the whole Russia interfered in our election was vastly overhyped. They spent next to nothing running ads on Facebook. Their pro-Trump, anti-Hillary ads got next to no engagement. The Republican conservatives didn't engage with that. We kind of saw right through that, and it got nowhere. In fact, it was only the pro-Hillary, anti-Trump content that they ran on Facebook towards liberals, because they were, Russia was trying to play both sides. Liberals fell for it hook, line, and sinker and interacted with that stuff immensely. And so if you want to say Russia interfered in the election by running ads and spending the money that amounted to, oh, in comparison to the overall election spending, purchasing a few items off of the dollar menu at McDonald's, spending pocket change, and the only ones who actually interacted with it was Democrats and they lost, all right, you could say it was a failed attempt. Sure. But then you go off and say that Trump didn't do anything. Trump was harsh on Russia, unlike Obama, unlike Biden. He enacted some of the most stringent sanctions, crippled the Russian economy. He took Russia, which was at least a regional power, and pretty much made them almost completely irrelevant. He crushed Putin for 4 years. And then it's Biden, having gotten back into office, now installed as president. You know where I stand on that. And what does Biden do? He immediately starts lifting sanctions on Russia and clears the way for them to complete that pipeline of theirs that only grows their power, influence, and wealth in Russia. And so here it is. You're trying to attack Trump as being weak on Russia when Trump crippled Russia, and it's been you, the Democrats, the Obama administration, and now Biden. That's been Putin's bitch. That's been going off and giving, rolling over for whatever Putin wants, lifting any sanctions placed on them, and basically clearing the way for them to become a power in the region again. And so it's amazing. You go through and list that Putin is a horrible person. Yes. But then he goes off on this delusional fantasy as if the Democrats rolling over and giving Putin everything he wants is tough on Putin. And Trump, having crushed Putin and the Russian economy and marginalized them to being less than a regional power, was soft on Putin? I mean, this is the Democrats' upside-down world, bizarro world, where everything is backwards. They are completely divorced from reality. And then, of course, the second part of that clip is Biden going off and praising Putin, building him up, saying what a great person Putin is, or at least what a worthy adversary he is. You know, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, do they even listen to themselves before they speak? No, that is a serious question. Do they even listen to themselves? because from all indications, they don't listen to themselves. They don't understand how stupid they sound. All right. There's another thing going on here that just really burns me that I need to talk about. And that is an article that comes from redstate.com. All right. Dems' proposal to not seat Republicans who have been duly elected. All right. So here's the crux of the story. The Democrats don't like the idea that Republicans are aware of the election scam that the Democrats pulled in order to get Biden into office. They are now going off and enacting election reform in order to tighten up this election integrity to ensure that we have legitimate, free, and fair elections. The Democrats don't want like that at all. So what the Democrats are now trying to do is saying, you states, you think you get to elect your representatives? Ha! You got to be joking us. No. Nobody gets seated into Congress, into the House or the Senate, unless the Democrats approve of that candidate, is what they're now trying to float. They're trying to say that it doesn't matter who you vote for. If they don't like who you voted for, well, they're just going to refuse to seat them. And then they're not going to be allowed to actually show up and cast their votes on legislation or fulfill the job for which they were elected to. They're basically trying to say that they have the authority or the right to be able to deny you representation in the House and the Senate if they don't like how you voted. And they're trying to go off and claim, well, it's based off of voter suppression. They always make that claim, voter suppression, yet they can't provide any evidence or any claims or any proof of voter suppression in any way, shape, or form. Now, I guess if you say, try to define voter suppression that only American citizens should be allowed to vote in American elections, I guess that's how they're trying to go off and define voter suppression, or trying to say one person, one vote. They're trying to claim that as voter suppression. That's really what their claim of voter suppression is, limiting it to American citizens and one person on vote. Basically, operating an election in accordance with the Constitution is what they're trying to say is voter suppression. And now they're trying to say that if you don't go by their rules, for elections, even though the Constitution says that it's the state legislatures that determine the time, place, and manner of elections, but now the Democrats are now floating the idea that they can refuse to allow the person you elected to the House or Senate to be seated and refuse to allow them to represent you. Where the hell does they get any such authority? Where does it say anywhere in the Constitution that says the House and the Senate has any say over who gets seated as a result of the election? Where does it say anywhere whatsoever that if my state elects somebody and the Democrats don't like it, that they can just deny seating our elected representative? That's nowhere to be found. In fact, that's in complete contradiction or the complete opposite of what the Constitution says. The Constitution says the state legislature determines the time, place, and manner of the elections. The state legislatures determine the election laws of their state. And if they say, hey, you have to be an American citizen and one person, one vote, and hey, you kind of need to show some type of identification that shows you are who you say you are in order to cut down on fraud, that is well within the constitutional rights and authority of the state legislature. Man, these people are just complete tyrants. Now you see what I mean by how the Democrats are the biggest threat to democracy this country has ever known, the biggest threat to this country. The fact that they're even trying to go around and float the idea that they can just deny or refuse to allow the person you elected to take their seat and do the job that they were elected for is unbelievable. In other news, the Democrats are trying to find a way to deflect from, the disaster of their policies. We've already covered what a dumpster fire the Biden administration has been. And part of that dumpster fire is massive increases in inflation. So you remember under Trump, we had a booming economy. There wasn't any, inflation. Unemployment was down next to nothing because the labor market was so thin. Employers started raising wages in order to attract people away from other companies. Right? It was a good time. Well, the Democrats are trying to make sure that never happens again. And so they're engaged in a lot of policies, basically such as paying people more money to stay home than what they would make working, opening up the floodgates with open border policies to flood the labor market, even though we have a massive surplus of labor right now, with unemployment very high still, and yet open borders. I've never understood this whole idea where you have high unemployment and you're still engaging in bringing people in through immigration policies. This seems like a very, very dumb idea. But as a result of all of the massive spending, as a result of the shutdowns based off of the bad advice of people like Fauci, who was purposely lying his butt off in order to save his backside from what he had funded the creation of, the coronavirus. Well, now inflation has taken off. You know, gas prices are rising through the roof. Groceries are going up. In fact, prices on everything is shooting up and shooting up fast. And the Democrats are trying to avoid this conversation, trying to shift blames. But a recent poll shows that, well, the people are not buying it. So poll, public blames Biden for rising inflation. A new poll reveals that voters pin most of the blame for rising inflation on Joe Biden. Biden takes most of the blame among likely voters for rising inflation, with 39% saying he is responsible for the issue. Meanwhile, former President Trump was blamed by 17.7% of respondents, according to the results of a newly released Traveler Group Convention of State poll. Among independent voters swung closer to Republicans on the issue, with 35.5% saying Biden is to blame for inflation, compared to 16.9% who blame Trump. Another 31.3% blame either the current or last Congress for the issue. Well, you know what? I kind of go through with that 31.3%, you know, Congress, but you know, yeah, it is Biden, because inflation, let's face it, inflation didn't start until Biden took office, repealed a whole bunch of Trump policies that were great for us, and started passing massive amounts of more spending, and surprise, inflation. Now, of course, the Democrats realize that they're in trouble. It is going to be a huge, huge backlash in the 2022 midterms. In fact, they're already seeing it. They saw in the last election, because of President Trump, that they have lost support, the Democrats, in the black community, with the highest percentage of the black community voting for a Republican president than we have seen in decades. Same thing with increases of Hispanic voters going to the Republican Party. And then we also see at these school board meetings, where most of the people lashing out against critical race theory and really giving it to the school board are members of the black and Hispanic communities. They are really losing support here. So, of course, the Democrats need to find a way to regain that support, but they can't do it through actually coming up with good ideas, because they have no good ideas. They can't do it by pointing to a record that provides any kind of success, because their record is a complete dumpster fire. So what do? Oh, yes, reparations. Yes, yes, yes. So according to the Daily Wire, black Democrats want to vote on reparations this month. Oh, yes, yes. You know, you we'll give you reparations. We're going to buy your vote. You know, we're going to buy you. Boy, isn't that kind of interesting? The Democrats are trying to buy black people. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Just give up some of your rights, some of your freedoms, you know, your kids' future. But at least this time, we're offering to compensate you for it with table scraps. Yes, the Democrats are trying to buy black votes with their whole reparations. Reparations. America has already paid reparations and then some. America paid reparations during the Civil War. We paid it in blood in order to end slavery, which, by the way, wasn't even nationwide. It was only in pockets of the country. You know, we've talked about this with critical race theory, where systemic racism, you know, slavery was only occurring in a pocket of the country. It wasn't nationwide. In fact, it was outlawed and illegal in most of the country, right? You understand that. It was only in a few Democrat states that engaged in slavery and so forth. But in any event, we also paid reparations with all the affirmative action programs and all the spending that is set aside for people of color. We have spent trillions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of lives over the course of this country paying reparations for what the Democrats did. But apparently it's not enough. It's like, well, you gave that to our ancestors. We're a new generation. You need to pay reparations for every succeeding generation. As a result, I guess is the claim. You know, but because the Democrats are losing support, seeing a backlash from Black community and Hispanic community, the Democrats having no record to run on, just a bunch of dumpster fires and no original ideas, are now trying to buy votes from the Black community. And then following up on that, the White House announces strategy to counter domestic terrorism. Now, when you say that and you read that, they're going, oh, domestic terrorism, you mean like Black Lives Matter and Antifa? Nope. So they want to counter domestic terrorism. One would think that if you wanted to target domestic terrorism, you might target the groups that are actually engaged in domestic terrorism. You know, the ones who are storming cities, burning down government buildings, burning down communities, all for a politically motivated agenda. But no. Apparently, when they mean they're going to target terrorism, they don't actually mean those who are actual terrorists. So what do they say is the biggest threat to this nation? White supremacy. White supremacy? When was the last time you ever heard of a white supremacist engaged in a terrorist action? I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're a white supremacist, you're a horrible, evil, garbage person. But I can't think of a single news story of the last few decades where a white supremacist has actually done something that is tantamount to terrorism. Now, maybe it's because white supremacists are virtually an extinct species in the United States. There is not enough white supremacists left in this country to fill a Walmart in a small town. And you want to label white supremacists as the biggest threat for domestic terrorism and extremists in the United States, even though they are virtually non-existent. I mean, you might as well be trying to say that the biggest threat to the United States is a Tyrannosaurus Rex. The reason why there hasn't been a white supremacy terrorist attack is because white supremacists virtually don't exist anymore. People found out that they were horrible, evil, garbage people that should be repudiated and kicked out of polite society, our civilized society. And Republicans are the ones who fought against the white supremacists. The Democrats were the white supremacists. The Republicans are the ones that had virtually stomped out white supremacy in the United States. No. They don't mean going after the people who are actually engaged in violence, burning down, and acts of terrorism. They want to go after a group that is virtually extinct from existence and claim that's their biggest threat. You know, again, I mean, this is like the same thing as far as the reparations. They don't want to talk about their actual policies. They don't want to actually talk about the conduct of their own base. So what do? They try to avoid it. They try to change the subject. They try to, just like with the wanting another investigation of Trump, they are creating an imaginary problem at this point. I mean, we're not talking about the days of the Democrat South where the KKK was a major political power. That's not the case. I mean, show me where there's enough white supremacists to amount a threat in this country. All right? Show me the last time a white supremacist actually went out and engaged in an act of terrorism. I could show you hundreds of hours of video of Black Lives Matter engaged in domestic terrorism, of Antifa engaged in domestic terrorism. Now, of course, there was a couple of more things that I was going to get to, but I think I'm going to go ahead and skip a couple of things here. But, I mean, this one just kind of writes itself, you know, as I look at this, you know, trying to get down to the last article or two. But North Korea defector blasts woke American universities, says even North Korea was not this nuts. Okay, so let me get this straight. Someone who risked their life to flee North Korea, you know, Kim Jong-un flees North Korea, risks their life because their country was so horrible, risks their lives to get out of North Korea, comes to the United States, the land of opportunity, the land of freedom, attends an American university, and comes away from that saying, these people are more nuts than North Korea. The North Korea hasn't even gone this insane. All right. So the article goes on. Yeomni Park is a North Korean defector and human rights activist who fled the authoritarian country in 2007, who would later attend U.S. universities. Her verdict? Park says the woke culture that permeates elite American universities are more nuts than the totalitarian education in her country of birth. I realize, wow, this is insane, Park said. I thought America was different, but I saw so many similarities to what I saw in North Korea that I started worrying. I sometimes still say he or she by mistake, and now they are going to ask me to call them they? Park explained. How the heck do I incorporate that into my sentence? It was chaos, Park explained. It felt like the regression in civilization, Park then said. Even North Korea is not this nuts. North Korea was pretty crazy, but not this crazy. I mean, my God, if you have North Korean defectors out there saying that Kim Jong-un has greater levels of sanity than what is being witnessed in American universities by the left and woke culture, that's a problem. That is an issue. If you're trying to say that North Korea is less indoctrinating in their education system than the leftist woke culture is in the university, that's a problem. That just goes to show how insane the left has become. Oh my God. All right. And then last article here. Virginia Democrat candidate McAuliffe says critical race theory is a right-wing conspiracy theory totally made up by Trump. Oh, yeah, so now we go into full circle. See, I told you this was coming. The left has been losing on critical race theory. It is a horrible, garbage, racist, anti-American, Marxist ideology. And at first, they try lying to us, right? Well, I mean, at first, they try going through and implementing it, hoping we wouldn't notice. Then they try lying to us. Then they try dismissing and saying, no, 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 you misunderstand. Now they're trying to say critical race theory doesn't exist. That is just a crazy conspiracy made up by Trump and the Republicans. Really? Really? We're only one step away now from them trying to say that critical race theory was created and promoted by conservatives as they try to rewrite history to get away from what they have found to be as toxic as the KKK itself. And just like the KKK, they're going to try and rewrite history to blame their political opponents for that which the Democrats created and promoted. All right. So that's it for this episode. I'd like to thank you so much for listening in. Hey, if this is your first time listening, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss another episode. Subscribe just means follow. It doesn't cost anything. Don't forget to leave me a rating and a review. And go ahead and share this on free speech platforms, because I know you can at least share it there, and whatever platform will allow you to share links to this show to spread the word. Only by helping to grow fellow conservatives can we drown out the leftist insanity. All right. Thank you so much, and I will be back again soon.